Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a program dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And when we talk about our health and well-being, we need to understand the role of our mouth. You know, dentistry has always been about getting your teeth cleaned and maybe filling them or maybe doing root canal. But up until very recently, we have not really appreciated the role of our mouth to our overall health. And in the past, I have done shows on oral systemic health and the role of opening up our airways and how that's really important to be breathing through your nose rather than your mouth. And these are all part of this growing awareness as dentistry becomes a really enlightened profession, understanding the role of the state of our oral health and the state of our physical health. So let me just tell you a little bit about the theme we're talking about today, and I have to introduce this idea we're talking about, this construct today about dentistry that we're going to be exploring. And the topic today is major breakthroughs in dentistry. And my guest today is Dr. Randy McCormick. So here's just the backstory about things. Even though I take really good care of my health, it seems to be that my oral health is my greatest challenge. So I've had a number of issues. I've had this unrelenting periodontal disease, which is not a good idea because it's really a damage to your gums. Actually, I've just been reading that periodontal disease even is now being acknowledged as an autoimmune condition, which I'll ask Dr. McCormick about in a minute. But anyway, so I was really having a lot of challenges. My gums were bleeding. They were receding. Teeth were getting loose. Pretty scary stuff for me, for anyone, actually. And through some very fortuitous happenings, I was introduced to Dr. Randy McCormick, who is right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I live. In fact, he is 5 minutes from my home. So that was pretty amazing. And what I learned from Dr. McCormick is that there are technologies available that can absolutely heal infection in the mouth. It can; these technologies can actually help to even regrow bone. These technologies can, in some people, eliminate the need for root canals by healing the infection. And it's with some very specific high-tech modalities and lasers. So I have been so profoundly impressed, not to mention healed, by using these modalities. And to be honest, I didn't know anything about these options. And I think this is the big message that we're going to be exploring today. There are solutions to problems that up until recent times, dentistry did not have the solutions for. So I'm so fortunate to have Dr. Randy McCormick here with us today because he is right there as a pioneer on the leading edge of making miracles happen through these latest advances in dentistry. I want to just take a moment and introduce Dr. Randy McCormick to you, a bit of his history. So Dr. Randy McCormick is a doctor of dental surgery with over 17 years of experience. He received his doctorate in 1999 from the University of Oklahoma. Dr. McCormick and staff attend a myriad of advanced education classes yearly. And Dr. McCormick's emphasis is patient care. Proficient in LANAP periodontal procedures, which actually binds bone to save teeth, using bioactive modifiers to assist in bone growth, dentistry has evolved to a much higher level of care in preserving natural teeth. Dr. McCormick is continually working to stay ahead of the technology. The use of lasers is a more conservative way to heal inflammation and sensitivity of teeth and gums. He is currently studying how to advance the undiscovered area of laser healing in dentistry. BioStim is a laser stimulation to reduce inflammation and promote ADP and ATP, which shortens and improves healing time. By using this technology, patients experience less discomfort and interruption to daily life. The LANA procedure rehabilitates to enable further cosmetic and full mouth reconstruction. So we're going to be explaining what all these terms are, and to help us do that is my guest today, Dr. Randy McCormick. So, Dr. McCormick, welcome to the show today.
Hello, Dr. Selman. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I really have to say you are my hero. You have done amazing things where I didn't think I had options, and you've opened my eyes to this amazing world of lasers, and particularly the laser that you're working with, which is known as LANUP, and I'm going to have you jump in and explain all this in a minute. But to me, we all need to know that there are options available to us to support a healthy mouth, even when we have been told there wasn't any other option. So this is what I find so exciting and why I so appreciate what you're doing, because you are right there as a pioneer on the leading edge doing amazing things. So, you know, I think the first place to begin, and I just want to talk about this briefly, but people need to really appreciate the relationship of oral health and overall systemic health. And can you just highlight some of those key things that we need to appreciate and why it's so important to take care of your teeth and your gums and take out areas of infection, you know, and all the challenges that we are facing with our oral health right now?
Sure, thank you. With a lot of the medical risks that people don't understand about periodontal disease is the bacteria are in the gums, and every single time that we chew, it injects the infectious bacteria into your bloodstream. The periodontal bacteria that goes into the bloodstream, it's increased by 4 times for people with periodontal disease, or 24% by just chewing 50 times. So that periodontal bacteria also can be inhaled into your lungs, which can increase your incidence of lung disease. It can lower your immune system. A study has found that healthcare costs were increased by 21% for those patients that had severe periodontal disease. It can also be transmitted to spouse and children. DNA tests have proven that the periodontal infection is transmitted directly to spouse and from a parent to the child through kissing. Blood cancers are a huge risk. You have 30% more risk. They did a study, 50,000 men, and it showed that those with periodontal disease had 30% higher risk of blood cancers, like leukemia, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And diabetes is another one. That's actually been the one that I have seen the largest link. I had a patient who had severe periodontal disease, and we did LANUP on the patient. We performed the procedure, and the patient was insulin dependent and on several other diabetic medications. And I always warn my diabetic patients to watch their blood sugar after I do the surgery, because immediately following the surgery, the mouth is sterile because of the way that the laser destroys the bacteria. And so because of the massive decrease in inflammation in the mouth, the diabetes will respond in a fashion to where I've had people are still going along with their same diabetic regimen, and their blood sugar will crash into the 30s and 20s. And as we know, most diabetic patients are happy with anything around 150. And when it crashes, they have no energy, they pass out, they have problems. And I didn't think that that would happen until I performed my first procedure. And I had the patient came in very lethargic, and we took their blood sugar, and it was in the 30s or 40s. So that's I've seen a direct link personally with diabetes. You are 2.8 to 3.5 times more at risk, I believe, if you have periodontal disease, to have diabetes. You're 2.7 times more at risk for a heart attack. You're 40 to 72% more at risk for heart disease. Kidney cancer is 50% more at risk. And these are that's a study of 50,000 men. Lung cancer was 36%. You're more at risk in the same study that showed of 50,000 men. Lung disease, 1.5 times more. Obesity is 76% higher in young adults that have periodontal disease. Osteoporosis, they have found a link. Pancreatic cancer is 63% more at risk if you have periodontal disease. Premature childbirth, 80% higher to have a premature child if you have periodontal disease. And that's any type of periodontal disease, and that was not advanced periodontal disease. Increased risk in stroke, and 5 times more risk of having tongue cancer. So those are the ones that I can think of, and those are the ones that we know of right now in some of the most recent studies.
Those are really staggering statistics. I think it's even a shock to me to hear how infections in our mouth, infections that haven't been resolved, can actually contribute to such profound chronic health issues. And just think that if you just do the laser procedure, kill all the infection in one session, basically. And we have to say that if you have bleeding gums, that's a sign that you have periodontal disease. So if you find yourself brushing your teeth and there's blood coming out, you have periodontal disease. If your teeth are loose, you have periodontal disease, right? If you see your gums receding, you have periodontal disease. So there are all these signs that are going on. We may not know how to read them, and we certainly don't give it enough attention to be alarmed. I can understand how if you have bacteria escaping into your bloodstream that exist, the dangerous bacteria in your mouth that exists in the bloodstream, and they can go into your arteries and perhaps then cause inflammation in your arteries, which leads to atherosclerosis and other things. But do they have any idea how that works with cancers and how it works with diabetes? What's the mechanism of those toxic bacteria that contributes to these high risks?
Well, we feel that it's the inflammation, the inflammatory response, the inflammation that is in the mouth, and is in the entire body. A lot of people think, including the federal government, that they don't cover teeth whenever they're insuring people who are 65 years of age and older, and they do not. A lot of people don't think that there's a connection. The mouth is part of the body. So if the mouth is inflamed, the entire system is inflamed. So we feel the inflammation is what is causing this reaction. One statement that you said earlier, which a lot of people don't understand, whenever they start to have bleeding gums, they think, well, my gums are bleeding. I'm going to back off on brushing because I must be brushing too hard. And so I always explain this to them. The reason that they're bleeding is because there is bacteria that eat the sugar in your mouth, and the byproduct of them eating sugar that they spit out is acid. And the acid erodes the small little vessels called arterioles that are in the gums. As it erodes them, it makes them fragile. So when you touch one, it bleeds lightly. Just slightly touch it. And that's how we can tell if you have periodontal disease. So if they brush their gums and floss harder, they will find that if their periodontal disease is just stage 1 gingivitis, they can floss and brush and get it to go away. But they need to make sure that they don't decrease the amount that they're brushing and flossing.
So if you don't have a progressed condition, you might be able to alleviate it and support and help heal it.
Yes, in stage one gingivitis, get a professional cleaning, brush and floss harder, more aggressively, and you're fine. I can go through stage one periodontal disease once or twice a year if I don't really pay attention to what I'm doing.
Well, so this is where getting your teeth cleaned professionally is absolutely critical.
Absolutely.
Correct? I mean, people shouldn't, and twice a year is what's generally recommended, although some people, like myself, I tend to build more calculus. I have to go more frequently.
Right. Yeah. Some people do that. And yes, twice a year, unless you do have stage two periodontal disease or above, then you need to go every 3 months. And the most important thing is that the toothbrush cannot get what builds up underneath the gums. And what builds up underneath the gums is where the colonies, the microorganisms, they use that as their house, and they will sit and build up large colonies, and then they eat the sugar in your mouth. They spit out acid, and that acid destroys the bone. So really, acid destroys the bone, and people think the bacteria destroy the bone. Well, they do, but really the acid that's spit off by the bacteria destroys the bone.
So it's their toxic waste products.
Exactly. Toxic waste product. You got it.
Yeah. So the other statistic that you just quoted, which is really staggering to me, is the percentage of miscarriage. I think you said 80% of women who have periodontal disease are at risk of miscarriage?
Yes. 80. If you have treatment during pregnancy, it gives an 84% reduction in premature births, and premature childbirth is 80% higher in females with periodontal disease. Premature low birth weight is what is linked to the premature childbirth.
That's so amazing. A woman who's pregnant is more toxic in a sense. So she's, I guess you'd say, an unhealthier and therefore more vulnerable.
They've actually found Streptococcus pyogenes, which is one of the Porphyromonas gingivalis, is I believe the bacteria that has been found in the placenta. So it's just too much of the bacteria in the bloodstream. So then that causes inflammation. And as we know now, we're linking inflammation to most or many diseases, cancers. And Dr. Selman knows more about that than I do. But she can tell you the different things that but I've found nearly everything comes down to inflammation. Viruses are causing the inflammation, which is causing cancers, bacteria, just chronic inflammation.
And that is pretty well established, that all chronic illnesses now are fueled by inflammation. So when we're talking about periodontal disease, we're talking about an inflammatory condition that's happening in the mouth that has consequences throughout your whole body and vice versa. You know, if you're sick and if you're toxic, it's going to affect your gums. And, you know, we're all part of this system, this matrix that is communicating all the time. You know, it's too bad that when people go to their primary doctors or their primary caregivers, that they aren't, you know, they don't investigate what's going on in their mouth, or at least ask the question if people have bleeding gums or receding gums. It would make sense that doctors should be checking this out with their patients.
Right. No, it's they're now. I've had GI docs that are now really on board, and so far, really not a lot of internal medicine doctors are, but the GI docs, for some reason, are really understand the systemic, oral systemic link. And they also said we will be help doing some of the testing for them.
Yeah, I think that's a growing awareness, is this integration of dentistry and medicine, because they all are part of the same system, really. We do need to integrate them both to our health care.
Yeah. It's amazing. We thought for so many years that the mouth is not connected to the body. Yeah. It's just, it blows my mind, but it is just really funny.
Yeah, well, that's why you still go to specialists rather than having an integrated approach where everyone is on board, knowing everything is connected to everything else.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me going. Anyway, when the fortuitous event happened for me, I went to see a friend of mine who's a very aware, progressive dentist in New York City, who has been a guest on my show, Dr. Michael Gelb. And when I was there visiting with him, that's when it was suggested I look into this LANIP laser. Now, this was totally new. I didn't know what they were talking about, LANIP laser. And when I investigated, there you were. You popped up. And, that's where we first met, because I really was in need. So I just want you to take some time and explain what laser surgery is. What is this LANAP, LANAP, which is an acronym? You can explain that. Let's talk about this amazing advance in dentistry.
Yeah, well, LANAP, stands for laser assisted new attachment procedure. And there's also now, just recently, FDA approved LAPIP, LAPIP, which is basically treating around an implant. So one is for teeth and one is for implants. I'll just give you a real brief discussion about LAPIP, and then we'll go into LANAP, which I could probably talk for a year about. But LAPIP is a new FDA approved. Now, both of these are the only FDA-approved protocol that has been cleared by the U.S. FDA and is clinically and histologically proven to regenerate new gum, tissue, ligament, and bone. That's the huge thing. But LAPIP, whenever our problem now with implants is, before, if you had bone and we could get the implant in, we were just really happy and it was wonderful and the bone grew to it, and then we'd kind of put the tooth on top of it just about wherever we could get it, and we were really happy. And then they would just start to fail over time. It was acceptable the first year to lose 2 millimeters of bone, and that just was normal. Well, then we'd lose about 0.2 to 0.3 millimeter every year after that. That was normal, and we thought that was okay, because we lose 0.1 millimeter on your tooth every year. So with LAPIP, what we do is we treat the area. So what we're now presented with 20 to 30 years later, since we've been doing implants, is we're presented with a lot of failing implants. So what do we do? Well, the doctors who came up with this laser, which is, the company is Millennium. The laser is called the PerioLase, and it is a ND-YAG laser, which those are used in medicine and for different things. But the ND-YAG laser is used for the LANAP, the LAPIP. So now with these implants, we have a lot of failing implants. I get referred to me from other doctors, failing implants, and I would say probably 2 a month. And whenever they would start to fail before, we would just sit and watch them fail.
Randy, can I just interject? When you say failing, is they loosening? Are they coming out? Or what's happening when you say failed?
We consider a failing implant one that is out of the mouth and that is on the table. Now, that's a completely failed implant. Failure, we start to, now we consider it a loss of bone around the implant itself, beyond the top thread of the implant, which is the top thread of the implant is where it is. It should be sitting level with the bone. So as you start to lose bone down the implant, like you do on a tooth, as you start to lose bone, we consider that an implant that is beginning to fail. Okay. And usually, after it begins to fail, you pack food in that little hole, and it starts to rapidly fail. Because it, whenever you lose bone, that creates a crevice that then food can get in, and then you can't get it out because it's under the gums. So with the new LAPIP protocol, so far, there's only been one implant I haven't been able to save. And that's amazing, because what we used to do is we'd just watch them fail, then we'd pull them out, and then we'd regraft them with bovine bone or cadaver bone, and then we would let them sit there and for about 3 to 6 months heal, then we'd just screw another one in. Well, there's not a lot of gists in that. It's uncomfortable for the patient. Patient doesn't like it. The second time you place an implant, you have aesthetically it doesn't look as good. There's nothing enjoyable about it, and it's very, very, very expensive. So we now, with LAPIP, in a 3 to 9 minute procedure, we can use the laser around it, and then we go through a certain system of procedures to do a painless procedure. I haven't had anyone complain that they have discomfort with it. Painless procedure after they're made numb, and then we let the tooth sit, and we take then radiograph every 3 months, and it usually matures at 18 months. And so far, I have only had one that I did not recommend that we continue treating because it was too far gone. So that
is pretty stunning. Yeah, that's pretty stunning, because so many people are getting implants these days, but as you were saying, that can lead to a high failure rate and and other problems. I guess if you have those crevices and food is collecting, you're getting more inflammation and infection in there.
Yes, more inflammation and more infection. And at an annual conference that I recently went to, the discussion now is no longer how do we place an implant and place it correctly. It is how do we save and treat and or place implants that are going to last.
Yeah, so there's more to an implant than just going to someone and getting it put in.
It's huge.
Yeah, there's a whole prophylactic, approach that needs to be done to preserve the gums and the bone.
Right, and as we talk about bioactive modifiers later on, I will get into why it's important to use a bioactive modifier instead of using a bone graft, cadaver bone, cow bone, or bovine bone, because those don't turn over, so they do not attach to the implant. We can get into that later. Your initial question was, what is LINAC? So that was my short discussion on LAPIP. But I'm excited about it. I love it so much, because these patients come to me and they have their front tooth that they think they're going to lose that they spent $8,000 getting fixed, and it's so important to them, and they've lost this bone. So that's why it's so exciting, because it's so simple for me to fix and very inexpensive compared to what they've been through.
Yeah, it is traumatic to lose teeth, and then after going through an implant procedure to feel that that's failing as well, that's pretty traumatic.
Yes, and I'll see some of these patients for their second or third implant, and it's failing again, and they're very frustrated. And it's usually, in my opinion, is a systemic issue, or it's because bovine bone or cadaver bone was used to graft.
Right. So let's talk about we're going to talk about LINAP, but I think we need to explain what lasers are in dentistry. What is the laser that we're talking about? What does it do? What is it, and you know, what? Why is it being used in dentistry?
Well, lasers, there's a lot of different type of lasers, and people will say, oh, I use this laser for this, or I'm a laser dentist. Well, the laser, there's different types of lasers. The reason I chose this laser is I asked a guy who I respect who's known throughout the country, I said, what do you feel is the absolute very best laser? I didn't really have all the time to research, and he said, in my opinion, it's the NDAG laser by Millennium. And I asked him why, and so then I started researching that, and I tried several different lasers. And then in 2004, the NDAG laser by Millennium was the only one who received FDA approval for anything. So I thought, okay, let's go with this laser. And I just was very lucky. But the NDAG laser, what it does is it's made to treat periodontal disease. I use it probably 3 hours out of the day, constantly. But I use it for periodontal disease during probably 10% of the time. The other 90%, I'm using it for other things. The NDAG laser decreases inflammation. It increases elastin production, collagen production. It converts ADP to ATP by 40 times the rate of normal. So it really increases healing, decreases prostaglandins. So I have patients that are coming in and they're in extreme pain or they are swollen, and what it does is it decreases their inflammation, therein decreases the pain, because usually, most commonly, 90% of the time, pain is caused by inflammation. So that's what it really does. So those are about five of the things. It does 132 good things to the body, and it would bore you if I went through all of it. But it does some amazing things for the body. And in used correctly, I received 2 years of training with it. Over the course of 2 years, we learned what you can't do with it. So it's not perfect for absolutely everything, but used if it's used safe by a LINAPT trained clinician, then it can do all of those. You can use it for all of those 132 wonderful things for the body. And so it's in an infrared spectrum.
Right.
So it's safe, very safe.
So it's really fascinating, because when you were showing me that laser, it actually generates tremendous amount of heat when it is directed at bacteria.
Right.
Maybe you can explain that a bit more, because I found that really fascinating. And the reason why that's really important, so if you have chronic periodontal disease and you have these deep pockets, you have these bacteria and these biofilms, which are little colonies that protect themselves with their excretions, that are impossible to kill. It doesn't matter what you do normally, the normal thing. You can't get rid of them because they're embedded down into the pockets. And this is where I was just so amazed at what this laser technology is able to do and why it's so effective. So you can take it from there.
Okay. Well, what we used to do, or what is still being, what is still commonplace, is you'll have scaling and root planing. And what it does is it will stir up those colonies of bacteria. And as we know now, Dr. Selman can explain much better than I can, with quorum sensing, what it does is it will stir up those colonies, and those bacteria can't tell that they are in groups anymore, and they won't multiply. They stop multiplying. Well, all you're doing is getting a temporary solution. They're not dead. How you can help kill them is to try and get them out of the pocket, but you really can't get them out of the pocket by scraping them out of the pocket. So you can clean the calculus that's underneath, which is kind of like the house for the bacteria, but the bacteria are still there. So what Dr. Selman is talking about is the laser. What makes it so wonderful is it is only absorbed by dark pigmented organisms or tissues that are dark in the infrared spectrum. So whenever you place the laser, which is in a very, very thin fiber optic tip, whenever you place the laser into the pocket, what it does when you hit the pedal and fire it is, if you can see it, it is really neat under an electron microscope. If you can see what the bacteria do, they go up like a puff of smoke. And I showed Dr. Selman, gave her a demonstration of what it does to dark pigmented objects. It's like your tissue, unless it's really inflamed, it won't absorb it. It just penetrates through until it gets absorbed by something that's dark pigmented. So you can put it on your hand, you can put it on your gums, you can do anything, but it won't react until it hits something dark pigmented, which is the bacteria that happens to be in the pocket. So whenever you run the laser around the pocket, not only do you use the laser and then you clean out all the calculus and then you use the laser again at the end of the treatment, so you're using it twice, once to reflect the tissue, and there's no scalpels, no you're not using any type of mechanical stimulation to reflect the tissue. So you use the laser, and then as you're using it, it is destroying the bacteria, and they go up like a puff of smoke. It's really neat to watch. So they are attracted. The laser then destroys all of the dark pigmented bacteria that are in the pocket. You clean out the area around the tooth. Then you go back in and you clot with the same laser. And then you just push the tissue back together. And then you're on a liquid diet for the first 3 days. Then you can have a little bit of soft tissue. And then you don't floss for a little while. And then you go back to your normal regimen at about 3 to 6 months.
So what you're really saying is, through this technology, you can go in and literally destroy all this toxic bacteria that up until previously there was no way to go in and totally destroy it, which is sterilizing the mouth so it can begin to heal. And that's the unique feature, and why this is so profound is because of that ability. I mean, when I had this periodontal issue, I've tried everything under the sun, and nothing was able to go in and eliminate, to kill those toxic biofilms and bacteria that were there deep in my pockets. And without something like this technology, you know, I was kind of doomed for my teeth. They would, you know, I would lose them eventually.
Yes, very, very true. And this this with stabilizing the teeth, we have found, will regrow bone. Around implants, I regrow bone 90% of the time. And around teeth, as long as they're stable, we regrow bone 90% of the time, as long as you're not a smoker.
So that right there is a profound statement, because up until now, was it believed you could rebuild bone in the mouth?
No, and every hygienist that comes into my office, because we're still taught that in dental school, that you can't regrow bone. And so they don't believe it until they've seen it about 2 to 5 times. And they call it the magic wand. But it's just it, we were always taught you cannot grow bone. It is impossible. All we're trying to do is maintain these patients until they lose their teeth, which is going to happen. It's like being terminal. Your teeth are terminal. And now we have been able to make this paradigm shift, which whenever I went through training the first week, I think the end of the second or third day, I said, okay, I'm just going to drink the Kool-Aid. None of this, I don't believe any of this, but I'm just going to drink the Kool-Aid. And everybody just laughed and said, you're right. And at the end of 6 months, I checked my patients and we had a regrowth of bone, and I didn't believe it myself. So that was about 7 years ago. So
well, I mean, that is a paradigm shift. You know, yeah. To take something that was believed to be impossible and to show you can actually achieve that.
Yes.
Stunning.
Yes, the inventors were brilliant and were really thinking outside of the box. So.
Right. So does it do anything else? Does the Linap do anything else? I mean, I know it's doing a lot, but I know it has many benefits when it comes to our teeth.
It does so many things. I've actually developed a protocol with the laser that is currently not being performed by anyone else that I know of. And I just happened to fall onto it accidentally as I also did the laser. My patients would have pain in their teeth, and they would have sensitivity, and they would have a lot of issues that we used to treat with root canals. My practice consisted of 25% to 35% endodontics or root canals, and now it is probably less than 1%. It's probably a 0.5%.
Really? Wow.
And that is because these patients that came in with pain in their teeth that I would normally go ahead and treat all of the pain areas, then we would go back and do scaling and root planing, and then cross our fingers and pray, and know that we're going to be treating these patients for the rest of their life. So I decided, let's just go ahead and do the laser procedure prior to treating any of the root canals, any of the teeth that need the root canals, so I can have the gums be healthy before we start messing with the tissue, decrease the amount of bacteria that we're pushing into the bloodstream. So I treated my first 10 patients that needed all these root canals. Probably 25% of them needed a root canal, one or two or three. And I found when I was done, 95% of them did not need root canal therapy anymore, and I couldn't figure it out. So I thought, why don't I just start treating the patients that are coming in that are needing root canals, have been told they need root canals, or have decay that's really close to the nerve that I would just go ahead and do a root canal on. Let's go ahead and treat these patients with the laser. And I used a bunch of different settings, and I had several guinea pigs that loved me because it worked. But and now I have a certain protocol that we go through that I can take a patient who comes in and says, I need a root canal. I've been told I need a root canal. Let's go. And I just say, just give me a little time. So I will use the laser on certain different settings and apply the energy to the tooth, and that decreases the prostaglandins immediately. So then the patient, if the nerve itself has not started the necrosis cycle or doesn't have part of the nerve dead, it will completely heal. If it has started the necrosis cycle, as we know with any body tissue, that will continually become reinfected unless it is removed. So if it has not started the necrosis cycle, which is that 5% of the people that I treat, then I will treat it on these certain settings for anywhere from 1 minute to 15 minutes without even touching the tooth, and the patients are out of pain. So I started doing that for several years, and I found that I got more proficient, I got the settings better, and I can now treat them in a shorter period of time. But I never really knew why. So about a year ago, a doctor from Harvard was using low-level laser light therapy with NDAG and was treating with 23 joules, a very, very, very low amount, on rat's teeth. His wife is an endodontist who just does root canals, and he noticed, and he published this study that showed the odontoblasts, or the tooth-forming cells that are inside the nerve of the tooth, were actually being stimulated to produce dentin, or tooth structure. So not only does the NDAG decrease the prostaglandins, which decreases the inflammation or the pain, it was also stimulating tooth structure to be formed, which is what I didn't know. I did not know why we were able to heal these teeth. What was happening was the dentin, or the tooth structure, was thickening where the decay was, so it was walling off the decay. So I was able then to go and remove the decay and not touch the nerve. Or if I did touch the nerve, I would just stimulate it directly with the nerve, and the body would start to, the odontoblasts would start to go ahead and produce that reparative dentin, or repair basically the hole. And I would then cover the tooth, let it heal, and within a month or two, go ahead and place the final restoration, which is a crown or whatever. And the patients don't have to have root canals. Now, it is not widely thought of as something that is possible, but I can tell you I've been doing it for 7 years and 5 years with wonderful success.
Yeah, which makes such great job satisfaction, doesn't it?
It does. It's absolutely wonderful. I don't do root canals anymore. And it's wonderful for teeth, because a root canal tooth, if you live long enough, will be removed because it becomes brittle. It is a dead structure that is in the body, which we know is not good. And it will be removed, and an implant will be placed in its place at some time in your life, if it's there long enough. They just are brittle. They don't have life in them anymore.
I think it's so exciting to upend these paradigms, to know how amazing the body is, that truly our body, if we find the right modalities, can repair, rejuvenate, regenerate, even structures, like you're saying, in the teeth that seem to be impossible. We just really need to expand the possibilities of our body and what it's able to do with the right support. That, to me, is very exciting.
Yes. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's neat.
So let's talk about biostim.
Okay. Biostimulation is the zone outside of the area where you are actually destroying the bacteria, which is a 3 to 6 inch circle around the area where the laser is directed. What biostimulation is it is all of those things that I told you earlier, which is decreasing the prostaglandins, increasing the conversion of ADP to ATP, all of the good things that the body does. Biostimulation is what you can do to anything that is infected, burned, anything that an insect bite, this is a little bit out of my scope of treatment, but I had a gentleman 2-3 years ago that we have documented from beginning to the end. He was told he was going to lose his foot, and we treated his foot for a course of 2 months, and because he had a significant ulcer on the bottom that would not heal, and an infection, and it increases microvascularity, which is something I have not mentioned. So it helps with tissue. So his foot was yellow when he came in, and it was pink and completely healed at the end of treatment. Biostimulation does wonderful things that promote healing. So biostimulation is what I was describing earlier whenever I was discussing how that we are healing teeth. It's my favorite thing to do. Like I said, I use this laser 10% for periodontal disease. I would like to use it more. The information is getting out there. People are becoming more aware that there are other ways to treat periodontal disease rather than cut and sew, or rather than just scraping it out, or for 15 years we would just shove chips into the gum tissue where there was a pocket that just would sit there and leach out antibiotics to try and kill the bacteria that are in there. Mm-hmm. So there were many different things. Now and with the biostimulation, that is what I'm doing for 90% of my day, which is I have a patient that has surgery. And during the surgery, I use the laser before, during, and after because of its healing characteristics. And the number one most important factor in bone formation is bone morphogenic protein, which is in Infuse. Some people have heard of that. They use it now. You can put this liquid on a piece of foam and set it underneath the skin, and it'll grow a chunk of bone. Well, that is what bone morphogenic protein does. It draws in all of the cells that are in the bone marrow that will help produce this bone. Well, the laser also will do the same thing. So I use the laser throughout the entire surgical procedure. So I'm basically getting what I have found. If I use it enough, I get nearly the same results as using Infuse, which is a very strong, very expensive liquid material made by Medtronic that is wonderful for growing bone, for implants, for bone grafting and things like that. And we'll get into the bone grafting related to implants in the future, but because that's very important to not have cadaver bone or bovine bone.
Do we have a little time? I think we have a little time. We can talk about these bioactive modifiers because that is
talking about
assisting in bone growth as well. So we might as well share all these amazing possibilities.
Okay. Bioactive modifiers. I have a system where we draw 6 vials of blood and we spin it down. We use this in every surgery. And we take these bioactive modifiers. We spin down your blood, and we remove the bioactive modifiers from your blood, and we place, they're concentrated in a certain area of your blood. We remove those, and then we place those in the surgical sites. And those bioactive modifiers are, one of them is called VEGF. The other one is BMPH, which is what I discussed earlier. But those are what are very, very important in connective tissue healing and also in the healing and or growing of bone. And what I have found is surgery used to be really, I would say uncomfortable for me. It was more uncomfortable for the patient, but it was really uncomfortable for me because the patients would be in pain for 6 weeks or so at following, you know, a surgical procedure, implant placement, bone grafting, and things like that. So now those bioactive modifiers are what I use in place of, or in conjunction with the surgery, but in place of the bone, as we used to use freeze-dried cadaver bone or freeze-dried bovine bone. But what we've found now is that whenever we use these bioactive modifiers, not only are the patients, I can tell them about the day they will not have pain, and it's usually day five, but day three through five, they'll have a little bit of pain, and then it's gone at day five or six. If not, there's a problem. And that happens rarely. So we use these bioactive modifiers in the place of these false bones, because what we know now in trying to make these implants not just stay, but make them last, is that around the implant itself, if the bovine bone never will attach to the implant. The cadaver bone won't attach to the implant. So the best bone you can have, which will only attach at about 80% around the implant, is your own bone. So if you can put these bioactive modifiers in and cause them to recruit the cells to grow bone, and it's your own bone, and it's nobody else's, then the implant will have 80% contact. Otherwise, it can have as little as 20 or 30%. So then once you start to lose some threads, you have a huge hole for the foodstuffs to get impacted into the area around the implant. So using these bioactive modifiers, we have a massive decrease in postoperative sensitivity, postoperative inflammation, postoperative pain, commonly no pain. And after you've used the bioactive modifiers for the bone, you have a much greater osseointegration or contact to the implant. So then greater longevity. And we won't have the concerns that we had before about losing the implant.
Well, this is really the future of dentistry, and you know, it's absolutely mind-boggling to see what's possible, and you're doing it. And unfortunately, there are still a lot of dentists who operate out of that old paradigm. So, is there a list? Can people go to a website and find the dentist who might be practicing some of these modalities, the LINAP, the laser surgery, in other states, other countries? Is there a directory?
Yes, there is. You can call Millennium Dental itself, or if you just plug in LINAP doctors, LANAP, you can find a LINAP doctor that is proficient in your area. And I will tell you, the training is so regimented that any of the LINAP doctors would be qualified to do your procedure. It'd be, of course, best if they had done it for a little while. I would say I was better, you know, the longer I did it. But I was proficient right when I was done, and you finally go back at 2 years and have your final training, and you've learned a few things. And every year we get together at the end of a year, and we all share what are the new things. And but yes, they just need to look up LINAP doctors or call Millennium Dental. If you call them, they're in Cerritos, California. Millennium Dental Technologies, Cerritos, California, and you can say, here's where I am, can you give me the name of a doctor in my area? And they're so nice to refer you to someone, and they'll actually refer you to someone initially that has a little extra training or that they know of, and then as the people get trained more proficiently, then they get referred to more. So
we should give your website, because I know people come from all over the country to see you. You've gotten
yes.
your reputation out there. So the TulsaDentistOK.com is the best website for people to go
yeah,
to?
Yeah, that would work, or just www.thetulsadentist.com.
Okay, thetulsadentist.com. Okay, good. Yeah. Is this available in other countries? Like Australia?
This is yes. Yeah, I was whenever we go for training every year, they put a big map up and they show where it is. It's all over the world now. Finally, when I went, our annual review, we would have my first year, we had about 115 people there, and we all knew each other really well. Every year I go now, I know about 5 to 20 people, and there was 12 to 1,500 people 2 or 3 months ago when I went for the annual review. And it's now used by 35% of all gum disease specialists in the United States. So it's now finally being accepted as not being voodoo medicine, and it's around the world.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, when people listen to this interview, they're going to be very excited and want to find out who's doing this work in their neighborhood. So it's good to know
yeah.
it's getting out there. And I'm certainly grateful that you're doing this here in Oklahoma, because I think you're only one of two, or really the only one who's actively pursuing it. So the fact that you're 5 minutes from my home is a miracle.
Well, that's nice. And if they find a Lenap dentist and they're having a problem with their tooth being sensitive, if he calls me, I'll tell him exactly how to do it. So
that's great. Oh, that's good. That's good for everyone to know. Well, this has been such a profound conversation. Thank you, Dr. Randy McCormick, for your dedication and passion for what you're doing, and how much healing you're bringing to all your patients. I know I appreciate it, and I'm sure, you know, all your patients just love you. So we're so glad you're here doing what you're doing, and that you have that, you know, that deep curiosity to keep learning and healing and going outside the box, because all things are possible.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Nice to talk to you, Dr. Selman.
Same here. And to all of you listening, so glad you joined me today. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.